it? Good question. It's Sam Nation time here on KXNT AM 840. And this is Sam Rojofsky, your host. And you are listening to Sam Nation. Yes, it's a relatively new program here in Las Vegas, Nevada. And we're having fun with this. Now, I'm a lawyer. I work here in town. And a couple of observations about us here in Nevada, in Las Vegas, and about us here in the United States of America. I am hearing a lot about wearing masks. I'm sure you've heard California next door. A couple days ago, Governor Newsom came out and mandated that everybody wear a mask. There is a caveat to it. It's where social distancing is not practicable. It's not possible. So, for example, if you're getting on a bus or into an elevator, an office building, that kind of thing. So there, it's not a strict you must wear a mask anytime you leave. But the point is here, where I'm going with this, is forget the government. Take the government out of it for a minute. There is a lot of mask shaming out there. Every once in a while, I see a post that goes something like this. It's very subtle, so you'll know what I'm talking about. It's in all caps, and it says, wear a mask. I don't mean to yell at you. I'm trying to get the point across. That's what it looks like. It's all caps. And when people write in all caps, I assume they're yelling at me. So I'm just passing it along. Now, you've seen that too. Maybe you've even heard it. Maybe you've actually had somebody yell that at you. Has that happened? I don't know. Dr. Audio, have you been shamed yet? It's happening out there. And you know why? You know when I want to yell back at people? I want to yell back, wash your hands. Because I just saw a guy leaving an office building here in town, was wearing a mask and didn't wash his hands when he left the bathroom, which I think is the reason this virus is spreading like hotcakes. But more on that later. So anyway, wash your hands. That ought to be the comeback. When's the last time you washed your hands, bub? Because the only difference, right, between the two is that you can't show the world how virtuous you are at washing your hands, right? There's no, I guess we could give out little merit badges, signal to people what a good little boy I am for washing my hands all the time. By the way, my hands are almost raw from how many times I wash them. And, you know, it's dry here, so I should moisturize. But at any rate, wash your hands. So there's nothing, you can't show it to people. So you can't signal your virtue. And this is why the left is so obsessed right now with the mask, because for them it is a manifestation, a wearable token of their obedience to big government. And nothing gets them more excited than that. I am so virtuous. I am so smug in my certainty that the science this week has it right. It is this need for self-validation that is driving the mask movement. And I just think it's gross. You know what the stats are on this? We're all losing our minds right now over COVID. The numbers are going up. It's, you know, big fear that we're going to have to shut down again. By the way, not going to happen. It cannot happen. Our economy cannot sustain it. The numbers that are going up, understand that people who actually know what they're doing and are quietly talking about this because they are fearful of getting tarred and feathered by the mob, they're the scientists out there that know what they're doing, they're saying quietly, look, we need to get to a place where this thing is spreading. The issue is maintaining hospital capacity, right? The purpose of the shutdown was never to prevent all of us from never getting it. It was preventing all of us from not getting it at the same time. It was always about spreading exposure out over a period that would allow us to treat everyone as best as we could if and when the need arose. You know that 60% of all COVID fatalities are over the age of 75. 80% of all fatalities are over the age of 65. Under 18, near zero deaths. So kids being kept home from school, more talk about school closures this next school year. If you're a parent like me, just, I mean, it's insanity. And really what it comes down to is that politicians of all stripes love the power. And so what you're seeing in Florida, I get it. There's rising number of cases. Now you tell me how many people you know that have it and got through it just fine. The anecdotal stories I am tired of seeing on social media, and I feel terrible, right? I feel terrible that your 23-year-old aunt passed away. You didn't give us her health records, okay? I don't know anything beyond that what you're claiming. And people put this up on social media. It's meant to attach to our heart, which, of course, as long as you're not a sociopath, of course you feel for the person. But it's not data. And it's anecdotal evidence here is absolutely worthless. So, as far as the mask wearing, I mean, outside where it's UV rays, this sun, those of you who maybe have never had the pleasure of being in the southern Nevada desert, we have a lot of sun here. And the minute the little droplet leaves your mouth, if you're outside, it's about 2 seconds for the UV light to kill whatever is in it. Now, if you're riding a bus or a tram and you're on a plane, I mean, I get it. But outside, I see people out there walking and bicycle riding. It's just nonsense. Crazy stuff. All right. Wash your hands. That's the comeback, I think, to all of this. Now, I want to get into I'm a couple of things here today. Big issues. First of all, the Supreme Court came down with some big decisions this week that got a lot of media attention. And conservatives, a lot of us, we're hand-wringing over this, aren't we? We are extremely worried because we see a court that we thought would be faithful to our causes seem at least ostensibly to be abandoning us, or at least some of the justices to be abandoning us. And my quick take on this is, and we'll get into it right after the break, but I'll tell you, I'm going to look at it from my perspective here and analyze it for you and maybe give you another take on this that you have not yet heard. Also, Bolton, his book is coming up. I guess it's going to be released very shortly. Yesterday, a federal judge lifted the injunction that was barring its release. So the restraining order preventing John Bolton from releasing his book has been lifted. And I want to explain what effect this has. I'll tell you why I think most of the book is bunk. But I also want to explain what effect it'll have on the race, because I think that's an important part of this. And we got other stuff to get into. If I have time, we'll even get into poor Hey Reb. What do you think of that? It's a dangerous place to be right now, this world of ours. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation here on News Talk 840, back right after this. So you got hurt in an accident and now are wondering, do I call a lawyer and which one?
And it's Vegas, so there's some interesting choices.
The lawyer you hire says a lot about you and your case. If you think a lawyer looks goofy, chances are the insurance company does too.
At Sam & Ash, we're focused on your recovery, not on being the biggest celebrity characters in town.
Call us anytime at 702-820-1234. 820-1234.
Or visit samandash.com.
Because you deserve what's right. Borjofsky on News Talk AM 840. This is Sam Nation. If you are enjoying this program, follow me on Twitter at What's Right Sam. And I do keep up to date on events going on in Las Vegas and beyond. And so you can find me there and enjoy little bits of wisdom that I may disseminate once in a while. Some fun local news from Las Vegas here. Apparently, casinos are noticing an uptick, not in coronavirus cases, but in revenues, slot machine revenues. And that is on days when unemployment checks are sent out. Leaving that one there for your enjoyment without comment. All right, Bostock, the case where the Supreme Court decided that because of sex and Title VII, where employers cannot discriminate against employees because of sex, that phrase means to include also people who are gay and people who may be transgender. And here is where a lot of people lost their minds this week. Because the thing that I've heard over and over again about this, the lament is, what is the Supreme Court doing? They are reading something into this law that isn't there. Conservatives are supposed to be textualists. Words mean things. If the word is not there, then why would the Supreme Court come in and essentially legislate by putting language in that isn't there? Title VII is from 1964, so the exact example that people said, well, look, they didn't put the word homosexual in there. They didn't put the word transgender in there. There's a reason for it. Don't put those words in. Okay. Now, for every one of you that thinks that, I understand where you're coming from. Let me throw something out there. Does the Second Amendment say anything about AR-15s? Assault weapons? No, it doesn't. It's a right to bear arms. Now, at the time it was written, I believe there were no AR-15s. But of course, the plain meaning, the textual version, the textual reading of the Second Amendment includes weapons that have been subsequently, arms that have subsequently been developed since it was written. And we have to be very careful as conservatives to not want things both ways. The textual reading of Title VII, we don't need to get into a discussion about Title VII. You may think your issue may be with Title VII. That's fine. But the law, as it's written, the court is not there to rewrite the law. They are there to look at what those words mean. And I think they did the right job, or they did the right thing, because they looked at the words because of sex and that determined that this is employers. If an employer is discriminating against a gay or transgender employee, they're accepting a certain conduct of employees of one sex, but not of the other. I'll give you the example here. Producer Robbie, he comes to the company Christmas party. He comes to the Sam Nation Christmas party and he brings his wife. And of course, it wouldn't be me because we here are an equal opportunity employer. But let's say it's somebody else, some other place. And the boss looks at it and goes, oh, that's fine. I'm okay with straight. But if the same thing happens and two guys show up, right? What's the issue? It's the gender of those two of the employee, right? Because if the employee was of an opposite gender, it'd be okay. And so gender is the key. And the way the law is written, I think all things considered, it's the right reading. So I didn't take great issue with this and certainly diverged from a lot of people that are on the radio and on TV talking about it. But I look at this as I have big problems as an attorney. I see a lot of issues with Title VII, and that's for a separate discussion. But that's for Congress to fix. And I think neither side should expect that the court fixes the problems that Congress creates. And so let's talk about DACA. That's the other decision, right? The big case about Dreamers. Now, this is one where everyone is loudly lamenting how we've lost the Supreme Court, or at least Chief Justice Roberts, because he was the tie-breaking vote on this. Although some of the conservative justices did, we don't talk about this, they affirmed parts of the decision, while not the others. But at the core of it is the deferred action against the children, or I guess it's the kids that were born in this country to undocumented, not born, but had come here as young kids or undocumented. And now a period of time, right? Obama administration propagates a rule where they're allowed to say they defer action against them for a period of time. And if you fulfill certain qualifications, certain steps, you're allowed to stay. Now, this program was in effect, in my view, unlawfully, put forward unlawfully, but it was in effect for a period of years. The Obama administration ends, Trump comes in and ends it unilaterally. Now, the problem is you've got a lot of people that have depended or have relied on promises that were made by the government in, you know, the first, second, third, for 8 years, essentially, have relied on this being the law. I'll analogize it to something that, you know, I think we'll appreciate. If you own a home, maybe you have a homeowners association, and you get a letter one year, and it's from the association president, your HOA. And the association president says, you know, we've discussed this, and we are now allowing you to build a second story on your home. And so a number of people, including you go out and you build a second story on your home. And then 8 years later, you get a letter from your HOA and they say, you know what? When you got that letter from the president, he actually hadn't consulted with the board. And the board hadn't voted on, he had no rights writing you that, to write you that letter and to waive the rule in our community that we can only have second stories. So by the way, today is the 21st of June. When will you be tearing down your second story? And the answer is, I don't want to live in a world that operates that way. I want to know that whether it's legal or illegal, if the government makes a promise, they can't go and retroactively change the rules. And this court decision, incidentally, affirms that DACA is something that President Trump could change on a moving forward basis. He just can't have it. The Trump administration can't make this rule change retroactive. It's a very reasonable take. And again, I'm here to tell you, I think DACA is as a rule change promulgated by the Department of Homeland Security, I think is unlawful. Because it's getting into something, an area that has been legislated and that is in the hands of Congress, the legislative branch. Yeah, and by the way, Congress is the one screaming about DACA all the time and screaming about, you know, illegal immigration. They don't do anything year over year. Republicans, Democrats, both sides. There's a shameful refusal to do anything meaningful. And some of the biggest, loudest mouths on both sides of the aisle are the ones that never get anything done. By the way, this leaves an open transition here into talking about the race. I'm going to get to what's going on with John Bolton to that book. I got to get into it. But the race, there's a number of Senate seats, Republican senators who are vulnerable. And the talk is that they're vulnerable because of Trump. And when I look at some of these guys like, well, I don't know, Lindsey Graham, these are guys who've been around forever. They talk about immigration. They've been talking about immigration every election cycle. They promise the Republican base what they want to hear. They make sweet sounds about reforming immigration, closing down the border. They say all the right things. And then it is nothing but broken promises. And I look at the Senate, some of these senators, and talk of them being vulnerable. They're vulnerable not because of Trump, but because of themselves. Because they've been in Washington so long, they're essentially Democrats. So if you're a Republican, why keep voting for a Democrat? And if you're a Democrat, why not elect a real Democrat? You got a branding problem. So don't believe everything that you hear out there. So I again on these two Supreme Court decisions, not the worst work that the Supreme Court has ever done. And by the way, there was a separate decision. I had it here a minute ago. One second. There was a separate decision that came down. Comcast versus National Association of African American Owned Media, which restricted in a racial discrimination case, restricted these claims only to but-for causation, which is a legal way of saying it. You really have to work very hard to prove racial discrimination. And the Supreme Court decided this case exactly right. You're not hearing about this case. Came down the same week, decided correctly, applied principles of law, no talk about it. So that's why you listen to this program. Go beyond the headlines. Sam Berjofsky, we'll talk about John Bolton next.
You got hurt in an accident. You hired a lawyer. Now they're ignoring you.
Don't wait on your no-call, no-show lawyer.
We're Sam and Ash. Upgrade to us today.
We listen to you and are here for you.
And we will always return your calls.
But you do have to call us first. Do it now. Don't delay.
We're available day or night, 702-820-1234, 820-1234. Or visit samandash.com.
Sam and Ash, because you deserve what's right. Sam Berjofsky back behind the Sam Nation microphone. Happy Sunday. Here we are. So, all right, John Bolton, let's do this. The court decision yesterday basically had to do with the injunction. An injunction, this is important. You're basically asking a court to stop something from happening. And it has to establish that there's going to be irreparable harm. And you also have to establish that that harm can be prevented with the injunction. And the problem is that this book is essentially already out. Even though you and I can't buy this tome from the shelves, it's been disseminated. Members of the media have it. Excerpts have already been published in the Wall Street Journal and elsewhere. So here is what the federal judge wrote yesterday. Quote, defendant Bolton has gambled with the national security of the United States. He has exposed his country to harm and himself to civil and potentially criminal liability. But these facts do not control the motion before the court. And the government has failed to establish that an injunction will prevent irreparable harm. Close quote. So that's the state of it legally. Now, the allegations in the book are salacious. I've only read the excerpt that was in the journal, and I haven't yet read the book because it's not available yet. But I will say this. If the gist and premise of what Bolton writes is that Trump is unfit for office, and I think more important, because that's a qualitative assessment. If Trump has committed other impeachable acts, he alleges this in the book, right? Other impeachable acts that are outside of the scope of the previous impeachment proceeding, which had to do with the Ukraine whistleblower, if you'll remember this. So he's alleging, right, that if there are other allegations that he's making in this book that Trump should have been impeached, why did he save them for a book? Is this a fair question to ask? I mean, there he was in the room. He was taking notes. He was, writing every detail down. Now, he got fired. This probe was just getting started. He could have spoken to investigators under oath in the House. Now, if you remember, the Trump administration blocked those efforts or tried to block those efforts, but he could have come forward as a whistleblower himself. Remember, this is going back a year. Whistleblowing was extremely in fashion. So, Bolton, where was his conscience? No, this is a for-profit enterprise with a touch of, with the touch of revenge, right? He certainly is not a fan of Trump's. We get it. Now, I personally think that there will be a number of truths in this book, that when I read it, there's things that are going to stand out at me as possibly correct. One of the things that glaringly just doesn't sit with me is Bolton's assertion that the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, that he has said a number of derogatory things about Trump and that he believes that Trump is unfit to be president and thinks that the whole thing is going up in flames, basically. And that is not, I don't think that's accurate at all. And the reason for it, just so you know, is that, Pompeo just turned down 6 weeks ago a silver platter Senate seat. There's an open Senate seat in Kansas. It's his home state. He was a congressman there. If you remember, he was in Congress. He left that seat to join the Trump administration and was given an opportunity to run for the Senate, which, of course, in Kansas, being a relatively red state and with his credentials and background, would have been like easy. OK. And the Senate, if I can just here's the thing in politics, a Senate seat is super coveted. Because you're in there for 6 years. You only have to run for re-election every 6 years. You can run for an unlimited number of terms. And if you're in a safe Republican state as a Republican, it's like a lifetime appointment. So in terms of politics and federal politics, it's one of the best places to be. So he turned that down to what? To hang out with the big buffoon Trump and deal with crazy and insanity and somebody who's a raving lunatic, unfit for office and won't be reelected, blah, blah, blah. I mean, well, what is it now? It's the 21st, June 21st. So Trump's going to be out of office in 6 months from today. Pompeo traded 6 months, 6 years to get 6 months. Just doesn't, there's a lot of stuff in this book that just doesn't jive with me. But my favorite part of this entire story has to be the commentary surrounding it, especially from some of my never Trump friends on the right. Okay, where is it? Hold on. I got to find this. So, Jonah, hold on. I got to get to this. Jonah Goldberg, where is this? From the G File. He's a writer. He National Review writer and has written a number of books. Very bright guy. This is my favorite bit. He talks about how in reading all this about Trump, what Bolton is writing, he's putting it through his own filter. And you know what he comes up with? This is astounding. He says, I know that some of this stuff rings true because I've seen it with my own eyes. And I go, whoa, let me read what he means. Okay. And I quote here. What is remarkable to me still is that people, this is Jonah Goldberg writing, that people can't or won't process the fact that Trump is the man Bolton describes. Now, in one part of it, Bolton says that Trump wanted President Xi from China to help Trump get reelected. Now, okay. this is so the quote continues. I believe Trump asked Xi to help him get reelected, not just because I believe Bolton, but because I saw Trump ask China to help him take out Joe Biden on national TV. I don't think anybody realizes that when Trump is kidding. Do you remember when Trump asked Putin for help, quote unquote, help to get Hillary Clinton's emails? And it became a basis for opening an investigation, what ended up being Trump-Russia mess that went on for years, tens of millions of dollars, Congress coming to a standstill to investigate it. And it was all based on, Trump speaking extemporaneously from the cuff and being funny. People are taking things that he is saying on TV and bringing it into the realm of evidence as proof that some very serious, real things are happening behind the scenes. I'm astounded. There is such a real, how do I put this? The caricature of Trump that has been developed by the media, that in fact he himself has fed, because he's who he is and he's a guy who speaks off the cuff and gives funny takes on things that, you know, aren't always perfectly thought out, but nonetheless, the media runs with it as being so serious. So serious. He, the president of the United States, told us to drink bleach because they believe that Trump is really that stupid. I have some news for you, folks. He's not. I wish many of us could be as smart as this guy is. No, that's an unpopular thing to say. Remember everybody telling us Bush was a big buffoon? Remember we heard that? And now President Bush is the most brilliant person out there. And why? Because he is a proud member of the opposition to the current political administration that is opposed by the mainstream media. The more I think about all of this, I really think Trump is the incidental guy to the greater picture of what's going on, which is the mainstream media has an agenda. And the agenda is left wing. And any person that gets in the way of that agenda has to be destroyed. And the first thing that they do is they do everything in their means to turn that person into a buffoon. And then along come weak people. And yes, right now, I'm going to call Bolton a weak person. Because I'm going to tell you, I didn't call him a liar yet, but a weak person, a strong person, wouldn't have been about the book. It wouldn't have been about the money. It would have been about doing the right thing. But along comes a weak person like Bolton, like Mitt Romney, for example, right? And they are co-opted. They buy into this narrative that Trump is a buffoon. And they buy, and then they reprocess everything that they've seen. And sure, I bet you a lot of what happens behind the scenes in the Trump White House is probably disastrous. And why? Because you've got a guy who's a businessman who comes into office and has the entire political establishment working against him. He doesn't even know who to trust. I mean, if any normal qualified person were in his shoes, dealing with what he deals with, I don't know how they would manage any of this. I think we'd all come up short. But this to me, this book has. What do you think? Well, I don't know. He might get charged criminally. They might go after him. It'll be an interesting story, and we'll follow it here. Sam Rojofsky back right after this. So you got hurt in an accident and don't want to hire a lawyer.
And that's exactly what the insurance company wants.
They don't want you represented by Sam and Ash. They'd rather you hire a bad lawyer or no lawyer at all.
That's because insurance companies work hard to pay you as little as possible and hope you don't fight back.
Call us day or night at 702-820-1234.
820-1234. Or visit samandash.com.
Sam and Ash, because you deserve what's right. Sam Rujofsky here on KXNT AM 840. All right. I got a little, permit me, a little bit of local news. Here in Southern Nevada, we have a university called UNLV, those of you who may not know. And UNLV has a mascot, still currently the mascot, Hey Reb. And Hey Reb is perhaps one of the more bizarre mascots in collegiate sports. This is, I mean, I'm even considering Santa Cruz, the Banana Slugs, and UC Irvine, the Anteaters, when I say that. Hey Reb is this old prospector, kind of crusty old guy with a big mustache. One might even say it's Bolton-esque. And he's, that's it. That's his deal. And the work, UNLV are called the Rebels. Now, is this, by the way, the reason they're getting rid of Hey Reb? Because it has whiffs of Confederacy sounding material. And it is offensive to certain people. You know where this whole thing comes from? Well, the original University of Nevada was founded in Reno, which is in Northern Nevada. And you, if you're not from here, you may understand this is a, there is a huge rivalry between North and South. And so when is now UNLV broke off from the University of Nevada, from UNR, they founded the school down here in Southern Nevada. And what did they do? They were the rebels. They rebelled against the parent institution in the North. It was a play, certainly, yes, on the Civil War. But there it was. It was the, and by what, well, you know what their mascot was? It was Beauregard the Wolf. Because UNR, they're the wolves, and they're like serious wolves, you know, mean wolves, powerful wolves. And Beauregard was the skinny, mangy, dopey wolf who wore, yes, unfortunately, a Confederate uniform. Now, it's not Beauregard that's going into the dustbin in 2020, because Beauregard went in the dustbin in 1980. That's right. 40 years ago, UNLV decided to be woke. And what they did is they got rid of poor old Beauregard and came up with this totally unoffensive prospector guy that has nothing to do with the Confederacy whatsoever. And in the middle of the night this week, Monday, I woke up to news that Hey Reb, the statue, had been removed from campus. In the middle of the night, they showed up with a U-Haul and picked him up and took him off. No conversation, no nothing. Just like that, Hey Reb was erased from UNLV's campus. I was on another station giving some commentary. Sports-related commentary. They asked me on Wednesday morning about it. And so, first thing I said, well, it's not popular to have an opinion these days, but here goes. I think it's nonsense. And everybody had a good laugh and went around. And you know what I think the problem here is, folks? Is that being offended is a choice. We've forgotten this. You know, I understand, I guess there's people out there who are offended by Hey Reb. But I want to have a conversation about it. Explain it to me. Nope, I'm offended. And we cannot live in a civil and ordered society where your unexplained, just ad hoc statement of offense is enough to make big changes, is enough to make institutions, individuals, collectives bow and accommodate you. That's the key. We can't do that. And this is happening all over the country. I'm offended. Now, there are things out there that are truly offensive. Agreed. Racism is awful. It is the basest, stupidest form of, I don't even know what to call it. It's not even thinking. It has no place in our society. But we can't eradicate awful human beings from our midst. It doesn't work. The world is filled with idiots. You've got to know I'm right. I mean, the idea, and this is a problem with our universities. You know, when we began creating safe spaces, this is going back a few years, and those of you who followed our program back in LA know that we railed against this. And why? Why are safe spaces such a problem? Well, they're an issue because they don't teach our young adults how to process negative statements, insults, offensive things. The world is not, it is not an easy place. There are real sociopaths out there. But if you're a student at UNLV, if you're a Las Vegan, and you are so bothered by Hey Reb that you can't even process it. Like, the school needs to take care of this. I think you might be the problem. I'm beyond. By 80% of people out there agree with me. They just did a survey of this. This shouldn't even be controversial, but we are inventing controversy right now. We're going out of our way to find things that we can rail against, causes that we can fight. And it's divisive. And it is producing an outcome that is exactly the opposite of where we want to be. Because where I want to be is I want to be in a society that is as unified as possible. But unity comes from accepting our differences. Unity comes from tolerance. And tolerance is a big word that applies to all of us, not just some of us. If we live in a society where we all are forced to tolerate each other's whims, each other's fleeting feelings, each other's temporary hurt, offense, we are all just going to be offended perpetually 24/7, pissed off at each other 24/7, and nothing good is going to come of it. So here's the thing. Yes, UNLV used to have some Confederate symbols. It was a play on Northern Nevada versus Southern Nevada. It is what it is. But I'm going to say one last thing here. Have you ever noticed in your car that your front window, your windshield, right, is pretty big when compared with your rearview mirror? Rearview mirror is this little tiny thing. It's a lot more important what's in front of you than what's behind you. And these past 6 weeks, we're getting very obsessive about this little rearview mirror. We need to move forward as a country. We need to become a post-racial society. I mentioned this last week on air. We need to be bigger and better than we are. And we're not going to do that if we keep obsessing about the minutia of the past. And that's the word. I'm out of time. I love this. All right. Have a great rest of your weekend and a happy Sunday. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation here on KXNT AM 840.